you know, you try to protect what you have, and you know, we put electric fences up, and that didn't deter. It might have deterred the honest people, but people really tried to. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're selling this as real marijuana. We're really not sure what's going on.
That's Tim Gados, a hemp grower in Honeybrook, Pennsylvania, where his fields have been robbed, his plants have been stolen. This is the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast. My name is Eric Herlock, and on today's show, we talk about theft and security on the hemp farm. Now, I was planning on taking a break from the show this week. I had that big summit and everything last week, and I thought I could use a little time off, but no, there's too much happening. Most notably, harvest and thievery. Hemp farms are being robbed, sometimes at night, sometimes broad daylight. Plants are being topped and coal is stolen. Sometimes they take the entire plant. I talked to one farmer on the show today who estimates a loss of 1,500 plants just in the past few weeks.
Yes, we had quite a lot of thievery in numerous spots.
That sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was terrible.
How much have they been... Actually, let's back up a little bit. Can you first introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Tim Gados from TLC Botanicals, and we have some farms under my management in Chester County and Lancaster.
And so you've had some theft from the field. Can you give a sense of how many plants were taken or how much biomass was gone?
I would say they've destroyed or have taken, you know, and this is a rough guess because it's happened too many times to even count.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, that many times. I mean, I've personally called the state police probably four times, and then I just stopped calling. Because, you know, they have other things, you know, important. Not that we're not important, but, you know, they have more critical operations that they have to deal with. So, and it's tough to catch somebody outside in the farm field and have any kind of evidence. But, you know, I've had guys camp out in the fields for hours and hours, in the middle of the night, probably 3-4 hours, because, you know, we find beer cans and clothing in there. And guys had taken, you know, maybe 30 plants worth of buds off the plants and hung them in the corn to, like, dry. Kind of crazy stuff. Like, who would do this?
Yeah, right.
There's corn fodder laying all through the roads and flour just laying, you know, in piles in the fields, in the corn fields. And then they just start destroying the plants. They just start to rip the tops off. We found clippers, hedge shears, so many different things.
Right.
In the fields over the past season. And we put signs up to deter them that it's industrial hemp. You know, these people work so hard in these fields all year long. I mean, just toil in these fields, you know, weed whacking and caring for these plants. And then for somebody to come in and destroy them, it's, we don't quite get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the last one we had, somebody drove in the field with their pickup truck, probably about 150 yards, stepped over top of the electric fence, okay?
Yeah.
Drove into the field on through two rows, on top of two planted rows, crushing the plants, about 150 yards into the field, parked out there, and commenced to, like, destroy about 30 or 40 plants.
Wow.
So we've had a lot of issues. You know, state police, you know, come out every time that we've called them, and they do their best. But, you know, nothing's really has been resolved on that.
Oh, how is it working with the police on this? Because I know maybe some police aren't sure about whether it is marijuana or it is hemp. I mean, what's their education level like on this?
Well, some of them, you know, a lot of them just, well, they know it's industrial hemp. They can, you know, they look at my license, they can pull it right up, and they're fine. They've been great, you know, understand the issues, but they just don't have the manpower or they don't want to spend the money to, you know, get fingerprints. And well, actually, we are working on getting some fingerprints on some, but to get DNA information off a beer can or off their hair. It's kind of very expensive, and you know, a couple 6 months or 8 months of time it takes to do that. Mm-hmm. And then the labs are working on, you know, murder cases, and they kind of like look at this and say, well, you know, this isn't like priority. We have other things to do. So, and I understand that, but it's been maybe as the people get educated and nothing can, they can't gain anything from it other than CBD oil, maybe it'll slow down. But yeah, we've had quite a lot of issues. And then another farm, not that that was the state police where we were located, but it was local municipality. Mm-hmm. They set up a sting operation and just took a lot of people. That, I mean, it was like the plants were basically knocked down, and there was like a path to them. So, you know, we've had incidences where the farmer chased them off. The kid broke his leg, and then somebody came back, knocked on the door, and said that we need an ambulance and we need to take this guy out. So, you know, he was evacuated out by ambulance, and, you know, obviously he got caught. So, just, wow. You know, we had quite a lot of incidences. And I have friends out in another part of the state, which I think you know who he is. He might be talking to you, but I don't want to give him any more information of where he's located, but he's must be on some sort of chat line, and he's having all kinds of issues. Unbelievable. People are driving 2 or 3 hours to raid his field.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy. From all different inner city areas, his names or addresses out, and they just come by the droves. I mean, you know, I think he might have 15 to 20 arrests, and you know, sometimes they let the people go, and sometimes they give them a ticket. Like the local municipality is giving them tickets for trespassing and destruction of agricultural crop. So
So what would you do differently next year, or what advice would you have?
Well, you know, keep it off the road, you know, because we were in a pretty open area, and probably I probably wouldn't report it that much, because what happens is, from what my understanding is, the state police need to make a report, a public report, and that just kind of opens up your area to more, you know, onlookers, basically. Right. So everybody comes out to look where it's at and see it. So maybe just keep it off the road and, you know, more remote areas.
Right. That's good advice. How about in, like, your drying facilities? Do you have extra security in there?
No, that's pretty much what always occupied, and it's on a farm. But I do have my storage facility. I do have we're next to a operation that has armed guards, you know, with walks around with guns and all that good stuff. But you know, I've run into a lot of people. You know, I to catch somebody, you know, you gotta have cameras and you have to be out there all the time.
Yeah,
and that's hard to do when you're putting in 18-hour days and then try to go out in the middle of the night. Or I mean, they do it in the daytime.
Yeah.
So it's been an issue. But a lot of the farms, I mean, we have quite a lot, over 20 different locations. Okay. So the remote ones, we don't have too much trouble. But if it's along the road where somebody can just jump out of the car and grab something,
right,
we see some issues on even smaller Amish locations, you know, obscure little roads, and people do even do that.
Yeah, right. So, but it's not enough of an issue to deter you from growing again next year.
No, I've enjoyed it. I think everybody feels the pains of harvest.
Yeah.
So you know, some of the guys I've been talking to, the bigger growers in Pennsylvania, we look at each other and says, what were we thinking? You guess, you know what I mean? So,
yep.
Yeah, it's been fun. We'll remember this year for sure. But now I'm starting to plan for next year. So,
there you go.
Yep. We're happy with the crop and happy with we helped the community. I feel these farmers have been struggling in the farming industry with their dairies.
Yeah.
And just, you know, losing big dairies, losing just hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and, you know, generational farms, 3 or 4 years, 3 or 4 or 5 generations, and they're just like, hey, you know, I can't lose another $200,000 or $300,000, you know, 2 years in a row. It's like, we gotta stop farming, you know. So they're looking for something, you know, so to speak, a cash crop. But, you know, let's be realistic about it. You know, this has been around out west for, you know, 5-6 years, and, you know, we're just playing catch up. So those huge numbers everybody hears is, you know, there's huge numbers to get the crop in and out on a larger scale. So it's not as, everybody's got to think reality, not just these high in the sky things going on. You know, you're going to be having a yacht, you know, in the Caribbean next year. You know what I mean? It's just, it's reality. It's hard work. It's farming. It's changing daily. I just had a vehicle break down, you know, with 5 people on the side of the road. We're going to rescue them this morning. That wasn't in my plan, you know.
Right. Got to roll with it.
Yep. Just pray for good weather like we're having. This is great. Just get the harvest in. We're over halfway done. And so.
All right. Thanks, Tim Gatos from TLC Botanicals.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Eric.
Our next farmer asked not to be identified, so we're not going to disclose his name or location, but you have to hear his story.
I guess the problems all started when people started seeing us harvest the crop. I guess that was the go-ahead for everybody, knowing that it was ready for them to come in and take what they think is free range. So about a week ago, or last Saturday, is when I started noticing a lot of plants being broken apart, ripped out of the ground. And then I'd start finding garbage bags throughout the field. I guess somebody would go back to the farm and they would stoop and run off and drop stuff that they would leave, clippers, machetes, about anything you can imagine. Mm-hmm. They've left the field. We actually found 2 cell phones, brand new iPhones, in the field now. But
is that something you can trace and find out who that is?
Well, yeah. The mother called when I had it in my hand the one time, and I actually had her give me her number so I could return the phone. Then I turned it into the state troopers, and they called the mother's phone number from their police barracks, and her and her son went in to pick the phone up at the state police barracks.
Yeah. But
you can't press charges just because you found a phone.
Right.
You have to go through getting a warrant to get into the phone and proving that he was actually there. And if he was 17, they can only hold him for 6 hours. And that's what's going on now. These kids from Maryland are just coming up left and right.
It's a bunch of kids.
Well, it's kids, adults.
Yeah.
It's everybody. Once one person starts gossiping that, you know, even though there's no THC in there, supposedly, you know, one person gets away with stuff and they start telling everybody, no, it definitely gets you high, is what they claim. And then, you know, it just spreads like wildfire.
How much damage has happened at your growing locations? Like, how many plants?
I don't think I've had any problems in the last, I don't think anybody's gotten away with anything in the last 2 or 3 days. I've caught a couple people. But I'd say probably 1,500 plants have been. I've probably lost 1,500 plants, so an acre's worth of grow, which is pretty significant at this point in time. So
yeah, yikes! I'm really sorry to hear that. Uh, what what would you do different next year, or, you know, what sort of is your course of action at this point?
I don't know. It's not my wife would never grow again, just because of, you know, you get everybody from, it seems like people are driving 3 hours going around our house with their lights off at 3 a.m. Nice. You know, if it was up to her, we'd probably never grow this again, just because of, you know, it's kind of frightening.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, you could always plant somewhere different, but it seems if somebody wants to find something there, find it, and it doesn't help that the state publishes our addresses.
Right.
That seems to be a, you know, it's like open season for everybody then.
Right.
With their addresses being published.
Yeah, that does seem like a problem. So you are going to grow next year, even though you've had this trouble?
If it's up to me, I'm going to grow. I'm not going to let somebody, you know, bully me around and just because they want to, you know, keep trying to steal the crop. I'm not going to let that deter me from growing. Yeah, I'm kind of limited on where I can grow. We farm a lot of acres, but, you know, I don't want to plant. I don't want to spend a lot of money and plant it on horrible ground or, you know, ground I can't irrigate. I'm kind of stuck growing in certain fields either way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can always put a fence up, but, you know, the people we're dealing with, if they want in the fence, they just want to cut the fence.
Right.
You know, it's...
Do you do other crop farming?
Yeah, we grow corn, soybeans. Okay. We're a dairy currently, but we're selling the herd November 8th just because that's been an utter disaster for, 4 or 5 years now. And, you know, this crop was supposed to get us out of the hole and, you know, turn a new leaf on the farm here. And then now we're dealing with chaos and destruction of just people running wild. Get away with anything and everything. So it's tough.
Yeah, it is. Oh, so how is your harvest going? You still have a few acres yet to cut and dry?
Yeah, we have we probably still have 2/3 of the crop to cut. We're working as fast as possible, but the crop's grown. It probably doubled the size that we expected. It was a great crop until, you know, everybody's cut the tops off now and ripping the plants off apart. But it's still producing a significant amount.
So is there anything you would share with people who are thinking about getting into hemp for next year?
With what, security or just overall?
Any way you want to take it, security, growing, whatever.
Yeah, I don't have any input on security. Just, you know, for the new people growing, just don't believe everything you read online and what you see on paper isn't the actual truth. It's a lot more work than what you could possibly imagine.
It's not easy money.
It's not, no. Especially when you get 25 different cars every night coming in to your property.
Do you have guys out patrolling, or are you out there with a...
The one night, I guess it was Thursday night into Friday morning, is when it started going real bad. We had vehicles. There's a truck that was stolen down in Winchester, Virginia, drove all the way up to the farm, and we had people from Jersey come in, and Clarion, Pennsylvania, coming that night. So I was up 40 hours straight. I mean, it was nonstop. It was, you know, you'd think criminal activity would stop during the daylight, but no, they're out at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, running through your field with red hoodies on, and
yikes!
I mean, it's just, you know, never ending. But yeah, I have the state troopers have been coming through our area a lot more often now, and I have a few buddies that come out through the night and help out just to try to deter things a little bit. You know, if somebody sees, you know, we're kind of in a secluded area, so if you see 2 or 3 Maryland cars circling an area, at 3 in the morning, then you know something's right. Not right.
Something's up.
So,
how's it been working with the police?
I mean, most of them are, 99% of them are really nice now. I don't think they took things serious at first until they were there with me. Like 4:30 in the morning when we could see like four vehicles circling, and then things started to click that this could end up being more than just that they could just be more than kids running wild, that it could be a little bit more dangerous than people stealing stuff in the long run. It's just hard to it's just hard to try to convict anybody of anything, it seems.
Unless you catch them red-handed, right?
Yeah, I've caught them red-handed, but I don't really get much out of them.
Yeah.
Recently we had three 17-year-olds and an 18-year-old. I actually caught them in the field, had them on trail camera running out with plants. They were running out with armfuls and armfuls of plants, as much as they could carry. And then they stockpiled it in a tunnel and covered it up and whatnot. But they were released after 6 hours. They went to their juvenile school that they go to in Washington County. And apparently they're telling all their buddies, have at it. All you get done to you is hell for 6 hours. No charges are going to be brought against them, apparently.
Yeah.
But, that's just, it really doesn't deter anybody at that point in time. So, I don't know if that's, I just have relatives that teach there and they just play oblivious to keep me informed of what's going on, what's going to happen, which has been pretty helpful.
Yeah.
But, what can you do when you can't, these kids know they're 17 or they know they have free range and you can't really do too much to them because they're below 18 years old.
Right. I'm sorry you're dealing with this. Yeah. Didn't see this one coming.
No, I never would have pictured this, and I don't think, I really don't think anybody really thought about this one at all.
Everyone's thinking about it now. Our next guest is David Thompson. He's a hemp farmer in Chester County. He's been on the show before. He's from Relief Pharmacy. They have not had any incidences of theft over at their farm, but he has an interesting perspective.
No, we haven't had any problems with security. We do have a baseline security established. That said, I think a big part of it is location. We kept a pretty low profile initially. We didn't really tell a lot of people, A, that we were growing at all, and B, kind of where we were growing after we started telling people where we were growing. So a lot of people didn't know, I guess, until the list came out.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Agriculture sent out that list of all the growers. We kind of are bordering along the Coatesville area in the Honeybrook Glenmore area. So it kind of borders Coatesville and kind of in the southern part of the county. It's kind of getting the reputation of the Coatesville Rippers.
The Coatesville Rippers?
Yeah. They have a name already, man, for sure. There is a very healthy illicit market going on, and this is it's bad for business, illicit market.
An illicit CBD market.
Illicit marijuana market. The CBD hemp is, the big disclaimer is anyone who's doing the ripping is either some hooligan or idiot that thinks it's like marijuana and they're going to get high off it, or B, like I said, there is like an illicit, very healthy illicit market. That these guys are out to just rip and damage crops because they know it's going to hurt the farmer. And they don't want to see a good legal market. They'd rather keep things black and gray. So, kind of my dismay was I would like the people just to understand that us coming from the medical marijuana and being a medical marijuana patient myself, and seeing how that is basically the whole Department of Health has been trying to legalize a very gray and black market. So our whole group has been very much integrated into the whole gray area. And unfortunately, we know there's people in the black side that have no intention of going legal, have no intention of doing the right thing. So the bad apples of them all are the ones that are going out and destroying crops. Either A, they think they're going to get it and sell to get people high, or B, they're just trying to destroy plants. And actually, C, some of them know it's them, and they're just using it to fluff their stuff, and they can sell their pounds for a lot more. When a quarter of it or half of it is just fluff CBD. Now, it'll make them relax. It'll be good. I think that's kind of awesome. But at the same time, that's what's going on, man.
Right.
On the dark side of the dark side of hemp.
The dark side of hemp. The Coatesville Rippers. So intriguing. Next, I want to check in with Oregon farmer Landon Butterfield to see, if they have this kind of thievery out west. All right, so what's been going on out here is that there's been a lot of, theft from the field. The state published everybody's address, for the list of hemp growers. And so it's kind of like open season. I just got off the phone with a guy who's lost something like several acres worth of plants. Like people coming up from out of state, people coming from all over, just going into the field, not even just at night, but broad daylight, hacking out plants, hauling them off. Have you had that kind of situation out west?
Not so brazen as to have them come in broad daylight. The ODA published a lot of people's addresses on their list of registered hemp growers as well, which is publicly available.
Yeah.
I noticed that a lot of the farmers didn't necessarily put much more than a mile marker.
Right.
That's pretty bold. I know last year at the farm I was at, we lost, 30, maybe 50 plants. People would stop on the road and just run up and grab them. The field I'm running this year, we're 20 minutes down the highway from the nearest town and 2 miles up a dead-end road past that, so we don't get a lot of traffic. And,
right.
I would say, the best security for your field is a presence. And then, good neighbors.
Yep.
I know the pear farmers around here for years used to drive around their fields at night, keeping an eye on things. And we've done the same with the hemp fields. The theft ratios haven't been quite as high, but there is some value to the plant in its wet state if they have the facilities, to get it shelf stable.
Yeah, there's. It seems like some of the theft is from kids, teenagers who are thinking it's marijuana. But yeah, there's been a fair amount of it going on just in the past week or so. Yeah.
You're stealing acres. That's not just kids. That's black market.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. They don't call 911 around here.
No.
We have a long history of kind of handling our own problems. I'm not suggesting anyone do anything untoward, but there's kind of a culture out here that deters people from trespassing on land that isn't theirs and, just kind of being where they shouldn't be. And if you're going to be growing a high value cash crop that is so easy to steal that they could conceivably walk up in the middle of the day and take acres, then.
Well, I don't think they took all the acres during the day, but he's been dealing with it
of the season. Yeah. I think that at that point it might be worth it to hire a security presence, but that's, I feel for those farmers. That's outrageous. And, cameras, get their faces on camera and, give that to the police, just like, I guess, if someone were trying to break into your garage or something.
Yeah, right.
That's just, we don't necessarily have quite so bad a state of theft yet. I mean, it could get worse, and I hope it doesn't, but I know a lot of guys around here are really paying attention.
Yeah.
They check their fields a couple times a day. I know a few guys go out and check it at night. Heck, my neighbors were out baling hay at 9:30 last night, so they could see their field from where they were at. I guess, too, you'd have to take the caution of if you're on a major highway or near a town or city or near, a high traffic area, where it's going to increase your chances. We're pretty lucky out here in Oregon. A lot of the good ag land is fairly rural.
Yep.
So it's more obvious when you get stranger cars driving around and stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's what this one farmer was saying. You know, like you get these out-of-state license plates circling around the thing. You know something's going on.
Yeah, that's nefarious. That's just downright nefarious. I build a relationship with your local sheriff, I suppose. I mean, that's the other crazy thing about this is you can call the cops, you know, you can call the sheriff. And if they like you, they hopefully will get there in time to, you know, help you out. I don't know what response times are, but some of the places around here, it can be kind of a minute before anybody can get out to you.
Right.
Yeah. Just in foster relationships with your neighbors, you know, have a, my great uncle, Morris, raised turkeys in the Applegate Valley for 20 years. And people around Thanksgiving and Christmas, people pull up on the road and, you know, grab a turkey and take off down the road in the car. And he'd give a call down to the Hazeltines or the Straubs or, you know, however far down he needed to. And the guy'd turn a corner and there'd be someone standing in the middle of the road with a pickup blocking it, you know. And there's I suppose everybody will come up with their own way of doing it. And every time you build a better mousetrap, but I think vigilance is going to be probably the one and only true kind of security you can have.
Vigilance is the one true security. Landon also mentioned the idea of getting a private security company. Well, our next guest did just that. Krista Stamen and her husband, Brendan, they farm out in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, and they've had a series of thefts over the past few months. And here, well, let's listen to her story.
Well, the first time that we realized, we're on a pretty major road, and we planted a buffer crop of corn, but I don't think anyone really realized that the plants were going to get as big and as smelly as they are. So we didn't really think anything of it. And then one morning, it was literally just one morning, we woke up and went outside and went down to the back corner of one of our fields, and it was pretty demolished. And that kind of was followed by like a lot of police stuff, and we got a nice camera set up, and since then we've caught a significant number of people. More were over the double digits with people who've been arrested in the field.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, were these kids? Were these adults? Who? What can you?
Pretty much everyone has been like under the age of 30. Okay. We've had a couple of like juveniles, and most of them are, you know, I mean, really far upper teens, early 20s.
Right. And do you have a sense of what they thought they were getting into? Like, did they know it was CBD hemp and not marijuana?
Some of them, you know, we physically catch people because we have cameras now. So we actually like go out and physically catch them in the act. But also we have an armed security guard, and he catches a lot of people too.
Yeah.
And we have found that most. It's kind of split. Some people know that it's hemp. Some people have no clue. Some people don't know the difference between hemp and, you know, THC. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. I don't really know why anyone.
Yeah, who knows what they're thinking, huh?
Yeah, no.
Huh.
I try to not talk to them too much. Just wait for the cops to come.
Is that a little freaky when you go out yourselves and try to apprehend these people?
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable. It's the last thing on the face of the planet that I want to do. And it's hard, too, because we've even had to go to court for it and to sit there. And nobody wants anyone's lives ruined over this. But at the same time, we can't just sit there and let people do it.
No, they're breaking the law. They're trespassing. They're stealing. There's all sorts of reasons why they shouldn't be doing it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's crazy. So will this keep you from growing hemp next year?
No, definitely not. It's just going to change some of the things that we do.
Can you talk about what you might do differently?
The thing is kind of like what I said before. We didn't really, I don't think anyone realized how big and smelly and ridiculous the plants are going to be. So when we started growing on our property, we, again, like we're Sidetrack Farms, we're a sidetrack. We're right on the edge of a major road, and we're a long, skinny property. So our field runs the entire length of the road. Anybody that drives on it sees it, smells it, everything. I definitely will not grow anywhere near a road next year. That's going to be the biggest thing, is if people have access to be able to pull off and park right up on the road, get 10 feet out of their car, run up, grab stuff off the plant and run away, they're going to. So definitely more buffer crop, really good placement of the field so that people don't really, you know, you can smell it, but you don't really know where it is. I think it's kind of impossible to not smell it at this point. Yeah, I mean, cameras too. We have multiple cellular trail cameras. When you reach a certain point, I mean, having a security guard has been amazing for us. It lets us sleep at peace and know that there's somebody out there watching. And usually just the presence of the security guard is enough to scare people away. I mean, he sees people pull up in their cars, stop, come up into the field, come onto the edge of the property and see him flash a pen light, and they run. Right. So that's kind of been pretty helpful.
That's going to cut into your sort of bottom line of this crop though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But it's also, I mean, it's something I don't really want to have to do, but if I have to do it, I'll do it.
Krista Stamen from Sidetrack Farms in Mountjoy, Pennsylvania. If you're looking to steal plants, don't go there. You'll get shot. Speaking of getting shot, our next guest is Tom Colton, who has also been having some issues with theft in the field. He's taking a slightly different approach.
So now's the perfect time to talk about having to arm ourselves to protect our crop. Luckily, we live in Pennsylvania, so we have a law protecting us. It's called the Stand Your Ground Law. We are going to employ that law from now on until we get this crop harvested, since we've had so much loss. And plus, I have to take it as a threat because my wife is there now. Anybody that's willing to take such a risk in the middle of the night to come on the land where they don't know whose it is, or obviously I have to deem it as a threat. So we've definitely armed ourselves to the teeth. And we have set up booby traps in the field to catch anybody that comes through.
Wow.
And we are sleeping in the field fully armed with loaded weapons to protect ourselves. And we will, after identifying ourselves, we are fully ready to take whatever action to protect our farm. That's the way we have to play it from now on. I didn't want to go back to the old Tom. But we've had no choice because we lost 137 tops in one night. The next night we were there and they stole 17 while we were in the field. So I said enough's enough. I mean, we're secure now, but still, I can't trust anybody. You know, it's kind of put a really big stain on this season. I didn't really feel in my heart that people were desperate enough or times were tough enough that we're living in, that people are willing to desecrate such a sacred crop and something that we hold so close to us. It's not only violating, but it's dangerous. Not only just to risk your life to steal something that is medicine, but also to come on somebody's land where you don't know what is going on that farm. I mean, they could have been electrocuted. They could have fallen in a hole. They could have got trampled by a horse. It's either one or two things. It's children that don't understand the threat, or two, it's somebody that is really brazen and desperate that's trying to take advantage of us. But, you know, the word's out there now. I mean, you come to our farm, you're getting popped. And that's the way it's going to be from now on until we get harvested. And we've had to actually accelerate our harvest. We're machine harvesting the rest of our crop this week because I can't go on like this for the rest of the season, just getting those kind of losses. And I mean, it's gotten to that point where, you know, we're not sleeping. It's starting to affect like our mood, and that's just not cool. So, and I'm also protecting my fellow farmers, you know, I mean, I don't know what kind of threat I'm inviting into my neighborhood. And that bothers me that I'm inviting into our community. So I'm going to definitely rethink even growing hemp next year in Pennsylvania, because especially on my farm, because if it's going to be that much trouble and I'm going to have that much threat, and I'm not, it's not worth it to me. And to put up security for something that really has negligible black market value, it's the numbers don't add up. So,
can you put a dollar value on what you've lost already?
I mean, I'm not going to be that guy that says, like, you know, is that it could be worth this much, but I will give you a ballpark. I mean, I don't even like to put a dollar value on it because you can't put a dollar value on your safety. You know what I mean? So they've taken kind of like our peace of mind away from us.
Yeah.
So how can you put a dollar value on that shit? So, but I mean, monetarily, if you were to add up everything they took and maximize it on the market at its highest value, $15,000 one night. But I don't think these guys are that smart, and I don't think they have the kind of connections to be able to market this, to be able to make that. I'd like to get to the bottom of it before, you know, the season wraps up. And I'd also like to hear from other farmers, if they've caught people, I'd like to share that information, because I really do think this is, some of this is connected. It can't just be all isolated incidents, because these people have to be somewhat organized to come into a field like ours. I mean, a couple of the thefts were very sloppy, but the one was real. I mean, it was definitely a crew, and they kind of had their shit together, I think. I don't want to give them too much credit, but yeah, I know about the Coatesville Rippers, and I'm just trying to figure out if it's the same crew coming north. It's going to be a crazy situation out in those fields, and that's why I'm taking it off with a machine. I'm going to take a financial loss on it, but I'd much rather take the loss than somebody lose their lives over this, because then I have to live with that, but I'm fully prepared to live with that for the rest of my days, just to know my family's safe.
Tom Colton, hemp farmer from West Hempfield Township, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. All right, so just one more story today. This one is told by Ben Davies from Wild Fox Provisions. It's not actually his story, but he relates it from one of the farmers in his network.
So we have a couple of growers that we're working with. One of them's an Amish grower, and he has a field that runs back his property, and there's a cornfield in between the house and the hemp field, so, you know, it makes it a little more difficult to see the field probably at night if there's headlamps and flashlights involved. But him and his neighbor actually, he just basically one night they started harvesting, and he thinks that when they started harvesting, you can see his field from the road, and that whoever it was saw that they were harvesting, that they had started harvesting. And so then a few days later, it's a narrow, long field, and so at the far end of the field there's woods. And the following day he had went out to the other end of the field, and he noticed it was like 25 whole plants gone, and like a clear kind of matted down path of grass leading back into the woods. And there's a local kid who got in trouble at the corner store trying to steal CBD products, and so he figured that that was who it was, because they've had run-ins with that kid before. He told the police, told him who he thought it was, and so the police kind of, you know, went over to their house, knocked on the door, no one answered the door, and then a week went by, they're still harvesting, and then he started noticing that what was happening was some of the tops, just the biggest flower buds, were being clipped off of the plants. And so again, called the cops, and he hadn't gone over to the neighbors and, you know, knocked on the door or confronted them or anything like that, because he's, you know, not confrontational necessarily. But I guess then at some point they had been getting more bold, and they found pillowcases full of flower buds. And the neighbor started noticing some of his tops were being taken off of his plants. And then they also ended up finding a pair of clippers in the field with the kid who he thought it was, with his name and phone number on the clippers. So I haven't checked it in on like where it's, but he gave the clippers to the police, I guess, and the police said they were going to be monitoring the area more frequently at night. But they're, you know, they're probably finished harvest by now anyway, so they're going to have a good harvest still yet, but obviously it's not fun to have your crops stolen, especially, you know, more of a feeling violated. And
right. Sounds like that kid needs a job.
Yeah, maybe, you should just employ him. He could, maybe if he could work helping on the harvest crew and just get paid in flour, right?
Done.
And so concludes our 7 tales of theft and security. Hope you enjoyed today's show. I wish there were better news to report. If the Coatesville Rippers happening to be listening, drop me a line. I want to hear your side of the story. If any of those kids are listening who want to go out and cut buds from the fields, just go to the farm and ask if you can have a job. Everybody else, thank you for listening. Don't forget, there's a lot of like cool webinar stuff going on these days. Penn State has a webinar series on hemp growing. Hemp Innovators has some cool stuff. And the Pennsylvania Hemp Industry Council also has a nice webinar series. Check that stuff out. All right, that does it for me. My name is Eric Herlock. I'm the digital editor at Lancaster Farming Newspaper, the greatest agricultural newspaper in the world. Don't believe me? Check it out for yourself. Become a subscriber. Go to lancasterfarming.com/podcast deal. All right. If you have any questions or comments for me, you can always reach me, podcast@lancasterfarming.com. Also, check us out on the Instagram, LF Podcast Hemp. I will also put some pictures up there of some of these desecrated fields. So, all right. Until next time, I'll see you in the newspaper. This 55th episode of the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast is copyright 2019 by Lancaster Farming. Lancaster Farming is part of the Steinman Communications family. Today's show was written and recorded, edited and produced by Eric Herlock. That's me. It feels weird saying that, but it's true. It's me. I did that. Okay. Any music you hear is courtesy of Tin Bird Shadow, except for that introductory piece of music for which we have Jane's Addiction to thank for that. There may also have been a little bit of Star Wars Imperial March, so thank you, John Williams and his orchestra. Industrial Hemp.